Our scriptural passage for this morning is taken from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and the first five verses. From Isaiah chapter 40 and the first five verses. Listen to these words shared by the prophet Isaiah as we prepare our sermon theme, Jesus the Greatest Gift. Listen to his words. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Amen. I want to share as it relates to the title of my sermon for this morning, Preparing for God's Gift. Preparing for God's Gift. Look to your neighbor and share the title with me. Preparing for God's Gift. Amen. All of human life is a warfare, and especially as it relates to the Christian life. But it doesn't end that way. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. I don't know about you, but I shared this at our other two services. I just love Christmas. I just love it. I love all the hustle and the bustle. I love all the chaos. I love the celebration. I love the pageantry. I just love Christmas. How many of you just love Christmas? Yeah, by show of hands. It's just something about Christmas. It's just celebration. Even those who are normally mean and grouchy. 11 months out of the year, a little bit more happier when we get to the 12th month, Christmas. Amen? Just something about Christmas. I can't wait, and hope you'll be here this afternoon at 4 p.m. When Paige will stand here and do her magic wand trick, and you know the choir will be singing Handel Messiah. Well, one day this month, I'm going to be standing right here, and I'm going to be singing as well. Amen? That's not a joke. That's not a joke. It's coming. But I just love Christmas. Let's crowd over here, something else. Last service, the children's message was about this tree. What is this tree called? Chrismon tree. That's the liturgical way of acknowledging, because all of the ornaments is a symbol of Christianity or Christ. But underneath there are gifts. Not fake gifts, real gifts. Now, don't worry. None of these, it's not a gift under there to have my name on it. Probably not your name either, so don't get excited. Amen. But it's just something about gift. And, Reverend, we're good to see you here. We're praying for your wife, too. You feel that? That's real gifts, aren't they? Make sure to get under the tree. Okay. All right. But it's just something about Christmas and Christmas celebration. It's the excitement of Christmas. It can remind us of when we were little kids and we celebrated Christmas, but now we have to pay for Christmas and give it away. Amen. But it's a sense of coming in, of celebrating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his birth. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A few moments ago, the Advent candle of hope. It was lit for us in the worship atmosphere, and thank you for doing that. It reminds us that Advent is truly here. And I want to call your attention to this passage of Scripture from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. If you have your Bibles open, just stay right there. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, the book of Isaiah has been referred to as a miniature Bible. A miniature Bible. Now, we have here the Holy Bible. And there are how many books in the Bible? 66. How many in the Old Testament? 39. Heard one voice. How many in the New Testament? Come on, you do the math. 27. All right. All right. Well, look at the book of Isaiah. If you look at the book of Isaiah, it's been referred to as a miniature Bible because just like the Bible, it has not 66 books, but 66 chapters. The first 39 of the book of Isaiah, if you read the starting with chapter 1, and Isaiah was called to be a prophet, and Isaiah was in the temple, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he heard the voice say, "Who will go?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah prophesied it during three ranging kings. Three. But in Isaiah's book, he shares in the first 39 chapters, you see it as though it was all dark, glismer, and doom, and despair. But then Isaiah comes with chapter 40. Chapter 40, all the way to chapter 66, 27 chapters, will deal with what we just celebrated a few moments ago, hope. It was hope in the midst of despair. With all of that darkness in a period of hopelessness, now Isaiah comes and he gives God's people hope. If you've ever been down and out, if you ever had the blues, you just read Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and the very first verse. Doesn't matter what translation you have, you'll see there's a word just in the first sentence, the first verse. It comes twice. And not too much separation. It says, comfort. Comfort ye my people, says the Lord. As though the author had to say it twice for the people to get it. He was acknowledging the divine comfort of God that was to illuminate the atmosphere that was coming for each and every person. A sense of comfort. During this time of year, many people feel as though they have no hope. They remember loved ones who have outrun us to our Father's house and family members and friends and church members. And it reminds us that God gives us divine comfort and strength even in this time of year. You look closely in this passage of Scripture and you'll see that word comfort. At this time, and you heard Reverend Waters doing her prayer as she prayed for the 41st president, President George Bush. President Bush had one quote that I want to share with you this morning as it relates to his life and how he had to struggle with death. And then he learned how to accept death because of his relationship with God. I want you to do like we did the last two services. Read it with me. When I was a little guy, I feared death. I worried about it. I'll be scared. Not anymore. When he was a little guy, he feared death. Worried about it. He was scared. But he learned through his relationship with Christ and accepting Christ how to even face death. Now, this generation, especially the last service, they're not too intrigued that he was the 41st president. They're aware of that. They go to school. But for this generation and this time, he's more known for his socks than he is being president. That's the late President George Bush. I said at the previous services, and I haven't been to heaven, so I don't know if this is true. But if he bumps into Aretha Holmes, I guarantee you she's going to ask about those socks. Amen, amen, amen. She always felt that men should wear black socks. Comfort ye, says the Lord. He was reminding Isaiah that Israel need to have a word of comfort, a word of hope. This season that we know as Advent, where we acknowledge hope, peace, joy, and love. Let me help you as it relates to your sermon notes with the very first question, this question. What is the heartbeat of Advent? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. What is the heartbeat of Advent? Well, here's the answer by Dean Witten. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. There is a mass for all who want to experience the coming of the Lord. Preparation. In order to receive gifts under the Christmas tree, someone must prepare the Christmas tree or the Christmon tree and then prepare the gifts. We're getting ready in a few moments to celebrate as it relates to the Holy Eucharist experience to give thanks to God. This wasn't done by a genie in a bottle. People had taken time out of their busy schedules to prepare the elements. The one bread and one cup for you and for me to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Preparation is so important in life. Amen. Look at how Isaiah was sharing with God's people. He was encouraging them to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, if you have your Bibles and if you just put a marker in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I'm going to come back to that. But look at John, the first chapter. For if you look at John, the first chapter, when Jesus' cousin came along and he started preaching, John started preaching, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Same words like Isaiah, preparation. He wanted people to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. As we get ready to celebrate Christmas, December the 25th, we first must go through a period of preparation. Look at Isaiah sharing with God's people to prepare themselves, to unveil themselves. He was reminding them that even the crooked places shall become straight, and the rough places made smooth. He was reminding him as it relates to our relationship with God. There are some places that are kind of crooked that God wants to straighten out. He wants to make amends. Perhaps it's relationships in our lives that are not helping us or something that is distracting us from worshiping God and praising God. And so Isaiah calls Israel out. He gives them the words of comfort. He gives them the words of hope. But then he reminds them that God wants to straighten out the crooked places and the rough places and to make them smooth and straight. You look at Isaiah and how Isaiah was sharing his prophecy. He said, when that is done, then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, not to a different sector of people, but to all, that all can experience the holisticness of God and the wholeness of God, because the arms of the Lord will be revealed to everyone. Now look in your sermon notes. Here's a true fact as it relates to the wilderness. The wilderness. The wilderness can be what? A scary place, can't it? It can be a scary place. When we shared in the litany a few moments ago, that litany talked about what is the wilderness in Palm Coast? What is the wilderness in Palm Coast? Well, the wilderness doesn't have to be in a wooded area. It could be in our everyday experiences, our everyday lives. A sense of loneliness. A sense of feeling rejected or disappointed or receiving bad news from the doctor. A wilderness can be anything we feel we're isolated from. You look at Isaiah and how he was sharing this prophecy with the people of God. He was reminding them to prepare the way. Why? Because God will be with us even in the midst of our wilderness experiences. Amen? God doesn't abandon us. Like he's a landlord that leaves his people and just go off and run on off until rent is due again. No, no, no. God is with us. He's with us in good times and bad times. How do I know? If you have your Bibles, look at Psalms 139. For the book of Psalms is the prayer book and the hymn book of the children of Israel. And Psalms 139, and the title of that says, the choir director. That's David. David is sharing out of his own experience. David asked God a series of questions. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the highest mountains or to the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. David says, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to yonder's mountain, look what it says. Your right hand shall lead me because you are there. There's not a place where God is not. He's omnipresent. He's in the same place at the same time. Don't put God in a box. God can't be boxed in. God wants to be with us even in the wilderness experiences. God wants to be there. He is the Messiah. Now this afternoon, we're getting ready to hear this great concert called Handel Messiah. Let me share this history with you. It was April 13, 1742, when Handel Messiah, George Frederick Handel, first conducted Handel's Messiah. It was based from the Book of Songs. And the last song in Handel's Messiah, where's Paige? What is it, Paige? Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah Chorus. It wasn't until March 23rd, 1743, that King George II was seated in the audience and they shared in Handel's Messiah. And when they got to the Hallelujah Chorus, guess what the king did? He stood up. The king. Normally, when a king enters a room, the people would do what? They would stand, yeah. But here, the king, listening to Handel's Messiah, seated on the front row, when he heard the Hallelujah Chorus, he couldn't remain seated. Why? I'm glad you asked. Even though he was the earthly king, he knew there was a greater king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. And even an earthly king can't be seated when we're singing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You look at Isaiah. Isaiah was sharing. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 6th verse, look at the 6th verse. And you'll see the B clause. Isaiah refers to all humanity. Like grass, like grass. Many of you like to make sure your grass is cut and looks very fine and very good. Well, Isaiah would say that all of humanity is like grass. And then look what he says in the 8th verse. He says, the grass withers, the flowers that we take care of, they shall fade. But guess what? The word of the Lord shall stand forever. Cast your lot on something that will stand forever, that will endure the test of time. It's God's word, amen? God's word. You can stand on God's word. Now at the last service, and many of you know them both, Aaron and Theo was here, and they were holding their baby, and holding their baby. Theo held the baby for a while, Aaron sung, she came back, Theo gave the baby back to Aaron, came back, vice versa. They're going back and forth. But don't you know, if you look at Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 11th verse, that speaks of how God takes care of us. Look closely, if you have your Bibles, look at Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 11th verse. It refers to the Savior, the Messiah to come. He will be like the shepherd with his arms holding his lamb. Who are the lambs? We're the lambs. God wants to hold us in his arms. It has well been said that a baby, when a baby is born, those first 2 years are critical because they're known as the trust years. The trust years. And when parents hold that baby close, that baby is learning to trust those parents. Look at God with his arms stretched wide, waiting for us, his lambs, his precious lambs, to allow him to embrace us, to hold us. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, if you look closely as I get ready to close in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, many of you know this verse by heart. You look at Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 31st verse. Now, you got to read the entire passage to get what he's saying in verse 31. He talks about in verse 31 from what has already been said in previous verses. He talks about the youth, those youth who can outrun us now, who got all this energy. One day they're going to what? Fall. They won't have that much energy. But then he gives a word of hope, a word of encouragement. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. And they should what? Run and not get weary. And then they should what? Walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord and prepare for the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.